But the first IDR, you usually get in advance of the opening conference, and they ask that you provide the documents before the opening conference. But usually you have at least 30 days. But we got an IDR, the first IDR, about 9 days before the opening conference, which included a request that we provide all of these documents before the opening conference. And that was, you know, we just sent an email to the revenue agent saying, you know, we'd like the normal 30 days, and we're going to follow the standard IDR procedures, and she reissued.
Oh, yeah, because she had issued it in final form, right? Because you'll get into this, but the...
Right. We asked that they follow IDR procedures, and so she withdrew it and then gave us our normal 30 days. So
we're supposed to issue in draft form initially.
Yeah. And so with this next thing is we're discussed with the taxpayer before issuance. So you usually get a draft. It'll be marked draft with red at the top. And then you have an opportunity to give feedback. And that is so important. That's your time to ask questions if you've got questions about the IDR. That's your time to give input. So, you know, we got some IDRs recently that it was clear that the revenue agent didn't really understand the transaction they were asking about. So we, you know, talked to him about and explained how the transaction worked. And then he had three different IDRs for basically the same thing. And so then he was able to issue one and have it be correct and accurate in describing the transaction that he was asking about. So always take advantage of that draft form and that discussion time. Then you will discuss the response date, and you can agree upon that. So when we got this final IDR that said we've got 9 days, it was easy for the revenue agent to agree to walk that back.
Yeah, but I was going to mention, when you said, do you clarify the transaction, we don't always do that. I mean, we had another one where they weren't asking about the transaction properly, and we didn't want them to ask about the transaction properly, so we let them ask the
wrong question. That's very true. There's a whole strategy there. So, yeah, that's one of the things. I think I need to go to the next slide because this tees up perfectly, Mary.
That's just what it looks like.
Yeah. So that's what an IDR looks like. That wasn't the slide I was going for. We've got strategy consideration. Here we go. So we had this one circumstance recently. They were not asking the question that we did not want them to ask. And so we were like, great, the answer is none. And we aren't going to clarify that. But they were close, but they were not. Whereas this one, this other IDR where, you know, we knew that this taxpayer had been picked up because there had been a large transaction. And we need that transaction to be as simple as possible for the revenue agent because we know that's the main issue in this audit. And so we don't want him thinking there's all this other stuff happening. Yeah. And so it was worth that conversation. But there's a lot of, you got to know what you're...
Yeah, you need to think about when do you want to clarify and when do you not want to clarify.
Yeah. So definitely review and comment on draft IDRs. But or the other thing we do, Mary, this is just like another strategy point here, is sometimes it's not really clear what they're asking, but there's a best way for them to have asked that for us. So for example, we had one about related party transactions, but they don't define related parties. And the tax return preparer had said, this person owns, 1% of this entity and 1% of that. And I'm like, no, we're just going to be very clear that there are no related parties for tax purposes because none of them rose to that level. So sometimes you don't want to say, you don't want to clarify, you just need to be clear in how you're responding. Communicate with the exam team, especially about time constraints and availability of documents. So one thing we've seen recently is if an entity has been sold, then usually what you have is you've got a purchase and sale agreement where they agree to help you with your audit. But you don't really have any control over them anymore. So you're kind of relying on some goodwill there. So one of the things that if I've got delays, they're not getting back to me, is I just make sure the auditor knows that we're working on it. But there is a bit of a hurdle because, you know, that entity is no longer owned by the partnership that's under audit. Another, practice point, have your document retention procedures in place and follow them. Nothing, I think, makes IRS agents more suspicious than saying that, you no longer have documents and you don't have a document retention procedure and you can't find them. But if you have a procedure and you follow it, then I think that's a fair response.
Yeah, that you followed it, yeah.
as long as you follow it.
I mean, we said recently, we don't have those documents. And they were like, you're destroying documents. We were in litigation then. You're destroying documents. We're like, no, we're not destroying documents, but we don't have the documents.
Yeah. This was a big overreaction to our we don't have those documents in that conversation. Let's see. So campaign issues, there are, I think so in 2017 there were only 13 campaigns, and now there are 54 campaigns. And when you, it seems like every time I move this table, it jumps ahead. So here we go. And you can, and honestly, our recent audits, you can kind of tell how we got picked up or why we got picked up or which campaign we are. But in these, you know, pre-planning is essential. So know your soft spots. A lot of times, Mary and I didn't necessarily work on the transaction, or, you know, we don't regularly advise the taxpayer that's under audit. So when we come in, we have to learn, you know, what is their business like? What are the soft spots of the return? You know, are there, you know, things that happen in other years that we want to make sure? You don't want to say, oh, we don't have that in 2020, but 2021, then we have a big one of those then. So just knowing so that you can be careful in how you communicate to avoid sort of inviting, expanding your audit, doing a little bit of mission creep to another year, or touching on something that you, you know, is complicated, you'd prefer the IRS not to get into. Okay, and then know your adversary and what perspective they bring. So I think that we'll talk a little bit about this more later, but, you know, make sure that you develop a rapport with the revenue agent and that you have some credibility, I think, is pretty key here, because they may not come into this audit, you know,